I want to share this time with you to create a sense of wonder about the miraculous universe. My desire is not so much to create concepts, although that too, but to convey the experience of the miraculous. But the place that I want to start with talking about the mysteries of creation is the mystery. The mind that we have in our brains that functions within the physical universe is limited in terms of what it can conceive. It's limited because of its physical structure. The human mind, which is connected to the physical brain, can only function within physical parameters of time and space because it's made that way. And when I say made that way, I mean it takes time for impulses to move across neurons and synapses to get from one place to another. So the brain exists within time and can't really conceive about beyond time except by metaphor and analogy. That it can do. But thought and the perception of what's beyond time are two different things. So how do we know what is part of our knowledge beyond time? You have to feel it in your body. If you can imagine that your mind is in your head, which it's not, but you could imagine that it might be, since we tend to think here, then you would imagine that the knowledge of timelessness and the infinite universe is here. It's inside you, like an egg. Like an egg. It's not in a pinpoint, it's just an amorphous energy shape inside your body. And how you know something with that egg is not through a feeling of sensation, it's through something that bypasses feelings and thoughts altogether and comes into you as a direct knowing. So if you're looking for a sensation, it's not going to happen. It could happen, but it's really not about that. Knowing of what's beyond thought doesn't happen on the level of thought. And thought and emotion are what we've experienced through the structure of the brain. So you have to try and be willing to be patient and to be humble about it, because everything doesn't translate into sensation or thought. If you try and feel that energy location in you, you'll be better off, even if you can't feel it as a place. It's not really a place. It's the energy body, your energy body, receiving a transmission of higher knowledge directly into itself. So it's not a location. It's more of an infusion. Well, I thought that I would share with you, to start out with, what I think is my new favorite word, self-existent. I have a lot of favorite words that correspond to divine experience, but that's one, because I think it evokes the child in us and the mystery to think of self-existent when we refer to God, the creator of all, who created all of life, whether we say father or mother. Self-existent means nothing before, nothing after, nothing outside, and nothing inside. There are no definitions that apply to the divine, none. Anything you say creates a label, a name, which doesn't apply because a name is a part of something. And self-existent means it's everything. Always has been, never was before, nothing comes after, it just is. And that's why one of the names for God in the Bible is I Am. Something that's self-existent, the only thing that can be said about it is. And so the Bible says, tell them I Am, says the divine says to Moses, tell them that I Am. So I'd like to think with you about this picture, if you can grasp what it is in any way. Nothing outside, nothing inside, nothing before and nothing after means that the divine has always been and will always be. And is unchanging. There's nothing to change it because it's everything. So there's nothing outside to act as an agent to change it. It's eternal and infinite consciousness. Nothing outside, nothing inside, nothing before, and nothing after. And why that's so wonderful is because anything that you imagine, if you can even grasp that a little, anything you can imagine, including and especially yourself, is inside that self-existent, but not inside as part of, inside as the whole, which is why I said to you, the whole universe is inside you. If you imagine that you're part of the divine, it's true and it's not true, both. You are a created being, so you are in form, or you are a creation that has a definition as something that's not somebody else. You're you as a soul, and you're not the next person over. So in that sense, you are a thing or a unique part of the whole, always inside the wholeness of everything, but a created being is the intentionality of the self-existent oneness to divide up into parts, which I'll get to, but we're not there yet. So you are part of that in your form aspect. But since you really don't have a form, the form itself is a perceptual construction. You really don't have a form. It just looks like you have a form. Then what you are is coexistent with the entire universe. Or you could say it backwards, the entire universe is coexistent in you. All of it, not part of it. You don't have a segment of the universe like north, south, east, and west. You have a part of creation. No, you've got the whole thing, and you're in the whole thing. So the form that's created is both purposeful and an illusion at the same time, both. Purposeful because the intention of the self-existent divine one to become many had an intention behind it. So you have a job to do, you have places to go and things to do. And at the same time, it's an illusion because you don't really have a form, it just looks that way. Now, I love this, and I would like to invite you to love it, to think what it would be like to exist without a form, and also to think what would it change about your identity if you understood really that the entire universe was inside you. You are inside it, and it's inside you. The only way that I can perhaps imagine drawing a picture for you, which is not possible because any picture creates a definition, and the self-existent one has no definitions, no names, no definitions, nothing to say about it except I am. But since I'm trying to explain this, I'll try. So think of something that is infinite in extension, that's like mist. We understand mist. It doesn't have a form in it. It's droplets of moisture that are visible because of their density, but it looks like air at the same time. So imagine a mist, and the mist goes out in all directions infinitely. And the mist is alive and conscious, and the mist has a self-awareness of itself, and there's nothing outside it, and there's nothing in it that has any shape. It's just a mist. No, it's really not a mist because a mist has a name, so you can't say it is, but I'm trying to use an analogy. So this mist goes on and on and on and on and on, and it's always been there and it's never not been there. And the question that the human mind asks, who created the mist, doesn't exist for the mist because it was not created. To be created, one has to have an external agent doing something to you. You were created. We were created. The external agent is the divine. But the divine self-existent one has nothing to create it because it's everything. So there's nothing that can create it. It already is everything. All agents, all agency, all causality, all intention is within its consciousness. There's nothing outside to create it, so it's always been and always will be. The miracle of that is that you are in that as part of that and as that, both. You are part of it in your formal aspect as a defined being, and you are that as somebody who's not a defined being but is one with the infinite. This is the paradox and why people get caught up in dichotomies of whether form is an illusion or whether it's not an illusion. It's both. It's an illusion and it's not an illusion, both. And so we can think big, we can think bigger, and not get into, you know, which one is it about the divine. The divine is everything that you can think of. Whatever you can think of that's part of a name of divinity is in it, but it's not it. It's just in it as a part of it. The reason that I want to convey the miraculous and the joy of that to you is because if you take this in, then the feeling of it is that everything's fine. You're in the divine. You're there. We're always there. Everything else that doesn't feel fine is happening because of the illusion of separated form. But the illusion, which you have to go through because it's part of creation, and you signed up for it, the illusion of separated form is a choice that a soul makes, but there are other beings that didn't make that choice, that are more on different gradations of unity, more one with the all. And so what it conveys is a sense of peace, safety, perfection, joy, all of that. To know that you are in the infinite and are one with it conveys all of that. Self-existent also means that the one consciousness that's the mist that is alive and intelligent and aware of itself, since you are not outside it, you're inside it, means that that self-existent consciousness is aware of you because you're in it. And so it is infinite consciousness, but you're part of it, and so everything that you feel and think is known to the infinite consciousness, which I think is a wonderful thing. I would like to spread the news around. And there are a lot of human beings. Most of our history is based on the feeling that we're not connected with anything, that our deepest troubles are not known. Most of human history is based on that perception of being unknown. And the opposite is true. The opposite is true, that everything is known, because the self-conscious, self-existent oneness, the mist, is around you and in you, and you're part of it. And we would have to talk in some other talk about infinite intelligence, because that's another wondrous thing, how a consciousness could hold 7 billion consciousnesses within itself and be aware of each part of that, each one. But that's what it is. That one consciousness can hold universe within itself. Everything that's in the universe is held within the self-awareness of the one that holds all. So you, in everything that you experience, are known. You're known. I think that's wonderful news. I hope you can take it in. I think if anybody could take it in, it would be a great relief. But the relief depends on how deeply you can take in what I'm saying. Mostly the history of separation and of feeling unsure about what the divine is and whether it's connected to you has taken a toll. So one has to relearn this that I'm telling you, that the self-existent one that is, that one can only say I am about, holds every consciousness within itself as knowledge, as known. One of the other things, well, not just one, but another thing to say about self-existent consciousness is that it is simultaneously any quality that's positive that you could imagine that we have a human word for, taken together and advanced to an infinite degree, would be the consciousness of this self-existent oneness. So whatever quality, such as peace or joy or love, light, any quality that you could imagine exists as the consciousness of this oneness, and it's the reason why we can feel any of it to begin with, because it pre-exists our creation. When in the Eastern traditions, this quality of divine consciousness has various names to it. In the Hindu tradition, it's called Ananda, Satchit Ananda. Ananda meaning bliss. So many have sought to become connected with the self-existent oneness in order to feel this. But whether you can or you can't feel that, Ananda, you can know that that's the essential quality of the self-existent oneness, and that as derivative from that, those streams of that divine consciousness are meant to come into every human form because you're part of the self-existent one. So if the impediments of form consciousness with all the problems that we experience of separation, if those weren't in the way, if the sense of being part of the mist would return, the capacity would grow to be part of the consciousness of those qualities of peace, love, joy, bliss. The capacity would naturally be there. You wouldn't have to do anything about it. It would already be there. And that's why people from time immemorial have been trying to find their way back to the oneness, to the point of origin, through meditation primarily. And today is the same. We are trying to find our way back to what we've never left because we're inside it, so we've never left it. But because of the physical form and the presence of the brain, we haven't primarily been experiencing the self-existent Ananda. But it's something to look forward to, because there's no way that it cannot happen. You are already part of it, and there's no way that that can be undone, because you're part of the one that is all. You're not outside it, because there's no outside, there's only inside, in the sense of the one becoming many. Everything exists in that we call a thing within the mist. Nothing is outside. So we could be happy about that. We could wake up happy about that if we could feel that. But we don't often wake up happy feeling that. That's why I wanted to talk to you about the miraculous, because the fact that God is real is a miracle. It's not just a sentence, it's a miracle. And the miracle exists for all the reasons I'm telling you, because the potential for humanity to feel this, and the fact that we have been given the existence and the consciousness to approach that, to feel it, is a miracle. So I would like to leave you with that particular thought for this day, that the self-existent oneness is all there is, and we are in it, and it is in us, and everything in life can be shaped by that.